This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
In this week's Parsha Shmos, begins Galus Mitzrayim. Begins the Shibud and the suffering, and then of course, as the Parshas continue, the Makos, and then the Geula from Mitzrayim. How does the Torah tell us that the Golus begins? So in Pasuk Vav, it says, Hayomas Yosef, V'chol Echav, V'chol Adarahu. That Yosef dies, the brothers die, and the whole previous generation, they die. Chazal tell us that this Pasuk is the beginning. This is the Atchala of the Galus. It begins over here. Why does it begin over here? Because Kol Zman, as long as the brothers and Yosef were alive, the Mitzrayim didn't put any Shibud on Klal Yisrael. Things started to, so to speak, go downhill when the brothers died. And that's the pasuk. Vayomas Yosef, v'chol echav, v'chol hador ahu. That's it. Here it begins the trouble. Because before, the Mitzrayim didn't. It says clearly, Vayaka melechada, shashalayadas Yosef. The new king forgets about Yosef. And he starts to tell them, I'm B'nai Yisrael Rava Otzum. I mean, it's clearly in the Psukim that after Yosef dies is when everything starts to deteriorate and become a situation of Galus. Baisai, we just read Parashas Vayechi. The beginning of Vayechi, Rashi tells us, is a Parashas Stuma, which means that normally the Parashas of the Torah give a break in between one parasha and the other. Here,
connected.
It's connected. Why? Satum. It's closed. What was closed? So Rashi brings the Medrash, the first Medrash on Parshas Vayechi, that from here begins Stimat Einayhem V'Libam Shel Yisrael Mipnei Tzoras HaShibud. The Tzora, the affliction of Shibud, of Galus, begins in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi. And this the Moineim, and because of this, their eyes became closed, became dark, their eyes and heart. And the Mela, here it, so to speak, is where Shibud has an effect on Klal Yisrael. It's a stira. It's a stira in the Chazal. It's a contradiction. I thought you said that nothing happened in Shibud Mitzrayim until the Yosef dies. Chazal teaches us clearly. The Psukim seem to implicate that clearly in the beginning of Parashat Shmos. Yet Chazal tell us that actually Nistamoy Neim V'Livam Shal Yisrael V'Nei Tzara Sashiva begins in Parashat Vayechi. The Rishayim asks for a kash. The Rishayim asks for a kash. You look at the Das Kainim, the Moishav Kainim, they all discuss this question. Rishayim give a very nice, interesting pshat. They say that actually there's two types of galus. There's galus physical. There's galus chaymer uleveinim, where they make you affliction to the goof. Then there's spiritual galus. You know, nistamu einayim v'libam. Isn't a physical. It's not a physical galus. The physical galus actually begins in Shmos. And that had to be till Yosef and the brothers passed away in Vayakam Elachadosh. But the spiritual shibud, the spiritual galus actually begins in Parshas Vayechi. It begins in Parshas Vayechi. What does it mean, Nistamu Einayhem V'Libam? because that obviously identifies the spiritual galus. The physical galus, we know, is the guf, inui, affliction. What is the spiritual galus? That's phrased by the pasuk, by Rashi, as nistamu einehem v'liba, their eyes and their heart. What does it mean, einehem v'liba? What does that mean? How does the eyes and the heart become closed? How does it become shut down, the eyes and the heart? So the Chatam Sofer explains, the heart resembles ahavas Hashem. The eyes are a mashal to yiras Hashem. And I think what he means to say is, you know, v'lo yisasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. The achrei einechem is a person, you know, his eyes wander. What stops the eyes from wandering? Yiru, fear. Yiru einenu, v'yismach libeinu, right? There's such a thing called yiru, fear. Yiras Hashem could be the einayim. It's resembled in the eyes. Ahavas Hashem is v'ahavtas Hashem alikecha b'chol levavcha. So nistamu einehem v'libam, the spiritual galus, hid in it that the yira of Hashem and the ahava of Hashem began to close down. That's the spiritual. So it's true that the physical galus begins in Parashat Shmos, but the spiritual, the ruchniyistik galus, begins with the fact that Yaakov Avinu was mace in Parshas Vayechi. I would like to explain a different interpretation of Nistamu Einehem V'liba. What does it mean? Why do we discuss the galus, the ruchnis, the spiritual one, as Einayim V'lev? Heart and eyes. And I would say as follows, Rabbi Yisrael. The Medrash gives a second pshat in stima. What does stima mean? Because the truth is, Rashi says a little further on in the Parashas Vayechi, there was nista mimenu haketz, which means Yaakov wants to reveal when the galus will end, when Mashiach will come, when the geula will be. And that was nistam. That became shut down. A second pshat the Medrash says is nistam imenu hagolus, that the golus itself became shut down. He didn't know the golus. The Ksav Sofer has many pages of arichus to explain this Medrash, and he says, I don't understand. The implication is that it is a bad thing, the fact that it's sasum. The galus, when it will end, it got closed down, got shut down, so it's bad. It's not good. What about the second part of the Medrash, that the galus itself, not the geula, but the galus became closed down? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Says Ksav Sofer, no, it has to be a bad thing. And why is it bad? Because sometimes the worst part of galus is that you don't even realize that you're in galus. The fact that the galus is satum, that the galus is shut down and it's not open in front of you, that itself is even the worst bechina of galus. There's galus where you know you're in galus. At least you can save yourself. At least you can daven. At least you can go and make taniyot and tikkunim. But if a person doesn't even know he's in galus, he thinks everything is wonderful, so he can't even move away from the galus. Stimas ha-galus, says the Ksav Sofer, means that the galus itself becomes satum, becomes closed up. Which means that you can't even explain that it's galus. You don't even realize that you're in galus. That's even worse galus than having affliction and being in galus. could be we could say that that's the mashal. Einehem v'liba, the eyes and the heart. Why the eyes and the heart? There's a pasuk. V'haya eini v'libi sham kal hayam. My heart and my eyes will be there. What does there mean? By the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim all the days of my life. Which means a person could be away from Eretz Yisrael. He could be in Galus. But the Yid, the Jew, always had that his eye and his heart was in Yerushalayim, was in the Beis Hamikdash. How does it say, Ani b'mizrach v'libi b'mayriv? A person could be physically in one place, but where is his heart? His heart is in the Mizrach, his heart is towards Yerushalayim, towards the Beis Hamikdash. Nistamu einehem v'libam shal Yisrael means the einayim and the lev, which always, even in the galus, which always was looking towards the Beis Hamikdash, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it became closed. It became shut down. We become complacent in the galus, that you don't even have the emotion, you don't even have the hergish, the feeling, that I'm missing Yerushalayim, I'm missing the Shechina, I'm missing the Beis Hamikdash. That is the ultimate galus. You hear Rabbi say? A person could have physical torture, but you know what he has? He looks ahead and he says, I'm looking forward that the Rabbeinu Shloimeh will redeem me. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael that they're going to get redeemed from Mitzrayim, what does the Rabbeinu Shloimeh say to him? The Zelecha Ois. This is the sign. What is the sign? Tavdunis alakim alahar azeh. Tavdunis alakim alahar azeh means that you will worship Hashem on this mountain. What is he giving them? He's giving them a hope. What to look forward to. A Yid, a Jew, looks forward to one thing, to the Rabbeinu Shloimeh, to Avodas Hashem. That gives him hope. But if you take away that hope, you have nothing. You know, it's interesting. The pasuk says, "Vatal shavasam elho elikim." It says when the Mitzrayim worked the Jews, worked the Klal Yisrael with tremendous affliction, Vatal Shavosom, their cry went up, El Ho Elohim. What does that mean?
Went straight up.
Hashem accepted it. What are we trying to say? It was that bad that Hashem heard it. Hashem hears any cry. Vatal Shavatam, their cry went up, El Ho Elohim. What does that mean? When Hashem closed his ears and all of a sudden now this cry pierced the skies and Hashem was able to hear it. Bali Musar say, Vatal Shavosam. You know what a Shava is? Shaiva is the inner cry of a person. When a person externally screams, what is that called? Tzoek. Tzoek is the scream. Physical. The louder you scream, it's tzakot. It's yelling, it's screaming. And that's the external yell. What is the internal? In every cry, there's the external and then there's the internal. And what is that? What is the word used? Sh'ava. Right? The sh'avosi hazina. You know sh'avosi? Sh'avosi means my inner. Hazina. Hashem has to put his ear close. Hazinu ha-shamayim v'atabeiro. V'sishma ha'oretz. We spoke about this many times. The word hazana means to listen closely, to put your ear to hear it, because it's not easy to hear. Ki'ata shenea kol shofar umaz and truo. We spoke about this many times, that the kol shofar is what? Shenea. But the truo, the broken, is lahazin, hazinu. You got to put your ear to hear it. Hashem puts his ear close on the shavasi hazina. Because that's the inner Atal Shavasam. What was the inner cry of Klal Yisrael in the Galus? El Ha'alikim. They missed the Rabbeinu Shlom. They missed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the Shaiva. That was the inner cry. The external cry was, oh, it hurts. Galus is painful. But what was the internal cry? The Shavasam. The Shavasam was El Ha'alikim. They missed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was this Eini V'Libi Sham Kol Hayomim, the eye and the heart, the feeling, the inner Yid, the inner Jew was searching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I heard that inner cry, and now I respond to save them. That's the V'Hoya Eini V'Libi Sham Kol Hayomim. Which Ainayim, which Lev? It's the Einayim and the Lev of the Yid. That his heart and his Lev and his eyes always were towards the Beis Hamikdash, towards the Shechina. And that became Satum. That became closed. That's the spiritual part of Galus. There's the physical Galus. There's the spiritual. So the physical actually begins later. The spiritual one begins where? In Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov Avinu was lifted, where Yaakov Avinu passes away. What is it that brought about this spiritual galus? What is it? What caused it? The physical, we understand that when Yaakov passed away, and then the children passed away, and Yosef, who did so much for them, passed away. They forgot about him. But why did the spiritual pass away when Yaakov passed away? Why did the spiritual goals begin over there? And the answer, Rabbi Isai, is very simple. Galus is complicated. The only way to save ourselves from Galus, and the only way to have direction in Galus, and to have Einayim, eyes that we should see properly, and Lev in the right hergation in Galus, is Torah. We find that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to go down to Mitzrayim, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam promises him, Anoichi Ered, I'm going to go down with you. Altira, don't be afraid. What greater guarantee can a person have where Hashem promises him, don't be afraid to go down to Golos, I'm going with you. Yet, what does Yaakov Avinu do? Yaakov Avinu does ishtadlut. Yaakov Avinu makes sure that he's secure spiritually, and what does he do? No? He built the yeshiva. It says clearly in the Pasuk, that the first thing he went to secure was to make sure that there's a yeshiva. That the boys, so to speak, I call them boys, but that the shvatim, his children, should have a way to sit and learn with him. This was the one thing that he did to secure himself as he goes down to Galus. You see, he was terrified. He was afraid to go to this Galus. There wasn't physical fear. He wasn't afraid physically. Yosef was the king. Yosef would protect him physically. He was afraid spiritually. And therefore, he goes out of his way to make sure there's Torah. Now that Yaakov Avinu is going to die, so the Torah is going to go with him. The Torah that he taught, the Torah that he was the semel, the sign of, and the Amud, was going to stop now. Memela nistamu einayhem v'libam shel Yisrael. What keeps the eye seeing straight, and the heart, to have that hergish, the feeling, is Torah. It's Torah, 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 Torah that protects. The learning of Torah protects. I want to tell you over a beautiful Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says more or less what we spoke this point, that when Yaakov dies, the yeshiva dies with him, the Makom HaTorah dies with him, and therefore Nistam Weinayim, and he says beautiful. Chazal tell us that Asid eventually in the future, all the Bati Knesiyos, the Bati Midrashos, and Chutz Laretz are going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Chazal also tell us, Yaakov Minu Zakav Yoshev Yeshiva, says Chassam Sofer. Calls my Yaakov had his yeshiva. The Shvatim felt connected to Eretz Yisrael through the yeshiva. Now that Yaakov Avinu dies, so therefore the yeshiva went with him. So they started to feel the gullus from Eretz Yisrael. You hear? Umishemeis, the nistamu mayonis hachachma. Batla yeshivasai. Now, I don't know why the yeshiva had to become battle when Yaakov died. What happened? Why did the kids take over? I mean, we won't get into that. Maybe because of Atzai. Maybe there were 10 children. It's one yeshiva with 10, but with 10 Rosh Hashivas. All right. Anyways, Uvijaveis! The Nistamu Mayana Zachachme! Nizbatla yeshivasai. Nidmalahem. So the Golus, says the Chassam Sofer, begins in Parashas Vayechi. Notice that the stima, if you want to tell that there was stima, that Nistaway Nehem, why does it have to be that in the Parsha itself, in the Chumash, in the Torah itself, is Nistaway Nehem? Why don't you have as a drasha? Whenever you want to teach something, you make that the parsha, the chumash itself, should be written in a way that it's satum. Why do you need that? You should just write a word or an ois or a remez that teaches us this to Wayneya. That teaches us this to Wayneya. And you know what the answer is? Because where was the steamer? The steamer was in the Torah itself. When Yaakov Avinu was mace, there was a steamer in the Torah itself that caused this to way Nahem. In the Torah itself, there was a steamer when Yaakov Avinu was mace. Niskatnu, it became less and less with the Ptira of Yaakov Avinu. So here, our boys say we have a tremendous lesson. Tremendous lesson. We have a tremendous lesson. And in order to preserve the inner yid, his hergation, his feelings, there's only one way to do it, and that is through Torah. The less Torah, the less hergation we have in Yiras Shamayim. You know, I'm not that old, but I remember the songs, just this music that we had 20 years ago. It's a different music. It's a different world. And I you guys are laughing because you're much younger than me. You still realize it's different music. The music that we have today, I listen to. I'm trying to think. What does that have to do with Yiddishkeit? I mean, where does that? Where does it have to do with Hashem? I don't know what it happens to me that they borrow the words of the Pesukim of the Chumash and they put it into to American music. We don't realize sometimes how the Golus affects us. And that itself is the biggest Golus. A Jew always had a hergish, a feeling. You know, I'll tell you something interesting. I grew up, even about Eretz Yisrael, there was a certain feeling in my home. Eretz Yisrael. My Zaydi was makbid. Zaydi Zechayel of Racha was makbid. And an Esrin only came from Eretz Yisrael. The Racha Shulchan writes that in those days the best Esrin was Yanever. Everybody wanted a Yanever, a Greek Esrin. Why? Because it had a Mesira that was definitely the Esrin that there's no Murkav. The Racha Shulchan writes, to be Zion for Eretz Yisrael, not to take an Eshik from Eretz Yisrael. And my grandfather was very macro on it. Only Eretz Yisrael. Why? There was a certain love, a certain feeling, Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. I want to tell you another thing. Years ago I read an article about the Biala Rebbe. Who's the Biala Rebbe? He was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, like any other Rebbe, so to speak. A Rebbe. Most of the year he was in Eretz Yisrael, but a lot he was also in Switzerland. He had a chassidus, a whole base medrash in Lugano, in Switzerland. So when he was nifter, I don't know why I picked up the Ted then, and I was reading about him. I didn't know much about him or of him. Something interesting, a Rebbe I never heard of, I didn't know much about. But there was something in there which opened up my eyes for the rest of my life. It left such a roshim on me. When he would travel to Switzerland and then back to Eretz Yisrael, he had an interesting custom. Flying to Switzerland, he would take a plane, a ticket to get a seat in the back of the plane. When he flew to Eretz Yisrael back, he would take a seat in the front of the plane. Why? Another second in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. When he left Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to be another second as the plane flies. One more second in Eretz Yisrael. When the plane comes in, he wanted to be the first one there. That's the lev regish, the feeling, the heart that a Yid used to have about Eretz Yisrael. He could be in Switzerland, but where was his heart? Where was his Eini V'Libi? It was in the Beis HaMikdash, it was Yerushalayim. We lost that. Today we come, we fly Israel back, forth, here. It's the first time in years I went to Eretz Yisrael. I was maybe many, like 8 years, not in Eretz Yisrael. I landed, I couldn't stop crying in Eretz Yisrael, you know. And I saw the people around me. They didn't even know what I was like. What are you like? What's going on? And then when I came down at the airport, at the airplane, I fell to the floor and I kissed the ground. As they state, the mother, says that the Tanoim used to kiss the ground. Yeah? And I saw a regular from the Jews laughing at me. You know? Ah, tatayar, you know. And then when I went that first day to Yerushalayim, I walked to the Kaisel. Why? I didn't want to take a bus. I was walking. As I'm walking, every step, I was thinking, I'm this Hayir Azleinu, Misharayich Yerushalayim. Right? What's the Lashon Pasuk? Raglis Malichis Aisi. All the Pesukim of David HaMelech, the way he talks about going to Yerushalayim, to the Makom HaMikdash. So I had a relative who was going with me. He looks at me, he goes, in a week you won't feel that way, he tells me. It's just the beginning. Wait a week and you'll, then you'll feel like what we feel when we go to the Kaisel, you know. All right. This is Galus, Rabbi. So you can be even in, a person could be even in Yerushalayim and be in Galus. And a person could be even in Chutz Laretz. And he can be not in Galus. He can be, his heart, his Eini V'Libi is in Eretz Yisrael. You know, Yaakov Avinu made it. That even when they were in Mitzrayim, they were in Eretz Yisrael. How? Through the yeshiva. The Radbaz, he lived in Mitzrayim. Radbaz lived in Mitzrayim.
Rambaz.
So they asked him, "How you talking? You're allowed to live in Mitzrayim." The pasuk says, "You're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim." So there was many answers that are given to this. You're not allowed to return to Mitzrayim. He didn't say that. You know what he said? I don't live in Mitzrayim. I live in my house where I sit and learn all day, and my house happens to be located in Mitzrayim. I don't live in Mitzrayim at all. Who lives in Mitzrayim? I live in my Beis Medrash, which is in the house. Grad that my house happens to be located in Mitzrayim. Yeah? That's Eini V'Libi. A person can be in Mitzrayim. He has no shaykhus to Mitzrayim. It has nothing to do with Mitzrayim. While on the other hand, a person could be living in Eretz Yisrael and still be where? In Mitzrayim. So this is Galus. The Indian of Galus, that Galus takes on two forms. There's the physical, and there's the spiritual goals. Okay. Now I want to explain to you, Rabbi Yisai, what it is that Yaakov Avinu wanted to do when he gathered them together. What was he trying to teach them? Because we just explained that Nistam, he realizes that something is becoming spiritual, a degradation, a certain yirida is happening now with his ptira. What is he trying to teach them? See, he comes to Vishimu b'nei Yaakov, Vishimu Yisrael Avichem, come together. So he wanted to tell them the kates. Rashi says clearly he wanted to tell them the kates. What's the point of that? What's the point, Rabbi Yisai, of telling them the kates? So Pasha Pshat is, he wanted to tell them when it's all over, because when a person knows when it's going to end, it's not as painful. It's not as painful. You know when it's going to end. Part of the pain is when you don't know when it ends. L'maisa, the Gemara says, Tipach Rucham Shal Mechashvi Kitzim. That those who come and say when it's supposed to end, their breath should be taken away, because they're not supposed to do that. So why would Yaakov want to do it? Unless maybe you say that Yaakov thought it's the right thing to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nistam, took it away from him, and from here we learn, Tipach Rucham, that it's not a good thing. Maybe Yaakov L'chatchila thought it was the right thing to do, and the fact that we say it's not a good thing, we learn it from Yaakov Avinu. Or maybe we could come and say that he wanted to tell them the kates, not so much the kates when, but he wanted to tell them what brings about the kates. What it is that they could do to bring the kates, to bring the gula. And what does he tell them? Hikavtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, hikavtzu. Ali Musa speak how he told them to come together. Because we all know that one of the components of galus is pirud. So if they have kibbutz, if they have achdus, then adarabba, they'll have geula. So hikavtzu was telling them kates. The Balaturim tells us that he looked at their names. And he looked and he saw that there's two letters which aren't in their names. Kuf and Tzadik. The only two letters of the alphabet which the Shvatim don't have in their names. Which means, says Balaturim, they don't have kates. They don't have the word kates in them. What's a letter game? What is this? From pre-1A we play these games. And we're going to go look and say, which letter doesn't belong, and which letter does belong, and if you could find me this letter, And the answer is, Rabbi Yisai, it's obviously deeper. The Balaturim is saying, in the makeup of the Achdus, of the brothers, he saw they were lacking kates. The one thing that they needed to bring the Gula. And what is that? Kates. They need to have Achdus. You know, how does Yosef reveal himself? When does Yosef reveal himself? Yosef reveals himself when they got together. Shunai, come closer. When he saw that there was a tikkun in the achdus, I told you from the Sipurna. This is not just to leave us up to beautiful talk. The Sipurna says that everything that happens in Parshas, Vayeshev, Vayigash, Vayichi, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayichi, is a blueprint of what's going to be when Mashiach comes. Yosef resembles Melech HaMashiach. Yosef is one of the Mashiach, is Ben Yosef. So when Yosef says, Ani Yosef, he's revealing himself as Mashiach, Melech, as the Melech. It's all in the Rishonim. This is not just a nice, it's Merumaz. The Sipurna learns that you read these parashas, you're going to get the future when Mashiach comes. So how does Mashiach come? Mashiach comes when there's hikavtzu, when they come together. Yeah. There's united, when the brothers are united, there'll be geula. So he looks and he sees. Take a look. Let's take a look. There's no kates in between the brothers. I can't put together. When you take their names and I try to put together, I can't put together a Kuf and a Tzaddik. In the Achdus makeup of the brothers, I don't find Kate. That's the Rebbe's. That's not a word game. So he thinks to himself, so how do I teach them the Kates? So Yaakov Avinu looks and he says, I could teach you how to bring about the Kates, maybe. And then I could also teach you a different thing, and that is how to live in Gullus. There's two parts of Gullus. One is how to live in Gullus, and the other part of Gullus is how to end the Gullus. The Avoida, the work that a Yid has to have in Gullus is twofold. On one hand, the Jew has to be able to survive in the Gullus.
Oh.
How? We're going to talk about it. And the other thing is he has to learn how to end the Gullus. So how to survive in Gullus was not Nistam. It wasn't Satum from Yaakov Avinu. Kates, meaning when, became Satum. When the Gullus is going to end. But how the Gullus is supposed to end and how one is supposed to live in the Gullus, that's Hikavtsu Vishimu B'nei Yaakov Vishimu Yisrael Avicha. You know, what is Birchas Yaakov? It's an interesting thing, Birchas Yaakov. Birchas Yaakov, we always think of brachot, right? The kids come home from school and they talk about Birchot Yaakov. Tell me something. Is everything that it says over there, what Yaakov Avinu, was it really brachot? There was a lot of rough mussar there also. A lot of strong words over there. The Gemara says clearly, he took Reuven and he gave it to him over his head. Shimon the lady gave it to him over their head. Everybody started to the brother started to start moving backwards. He says, no, come, you're going to get brachot. You die. So what's Birchas Yaakov? Is it brachot or was it Musar? Which one was it? Oh, so the truth is it was both. That's the truth. It was really both. And if you look at the psukim, it's very meduyak in the psukim. The psukim tell us, and these are the words, Asher diber lahem aviyem, vayivarech oisam, ish ki birchasai beirach oisam. Remember the lashon of the pasuk? Okay. Tes chav ches. Kol ein l'shiftei Yisrael. V'zois asher diber lahem aviyem, vayivarech oisam. This is what the father spoke to them and he blessed them. So what is the two lishonot? Diber lahem aviyem, vayivarech oisam. And the answer is, because diber is a lashon, no? Tochacha, right? Kedaber is kasha, kegidim, it's talk. Strong talk! Right? You want the part? Then he spoke to them hard, and he also blessed them. You know, in the beginning of Birchas Yaakov, it also says, Hikavtsu Vishimu. It says twice, right? You read the pasuk, Hikavtsu, Mem Tes Beis. Who's reading the pasuk? Go ahead, Nu. It says, Hikavtsu, go ahead, read, Mem Tes Beis. Go ahead, read. Nu, schnell, Nu. Hikavtsu. Yes, Mem Tes Beis. Hikavtsu Vishimu B'nei Yaakov. Vishimu El Yisrael Avichem. It's the same thing twice, no? What do you mean, Hikavtsu B'nei Yaakov Vishimu? It says, listen. What do you think it's like in Shivat Oil Simcha that I have to say, listen good, listen. A Rebbe in kindergarten has to do that. Yaakov Avinu the Torah doesn't have to go, listen, Shimu, listen good. You have to say it once, Shimu. And the answer is, that there's two types of Shimu. One is Shimu b'nei Yaakov, Musar. And the other one's Shimu al Yisrael Avicha and Bracha. There were two messages in Yaakov's Birchas Yaakov. You know, it's whenever we talk about Yaakov's children in a lower Madrega, we call them what? B'nei Yaakov. Whenever we talk about them in a higher Madrega, what do we talk about them? B'nei Yisrael. So Shimu B'nei Yaakov. And also Shimu El Yisrael Avicha. There was two things that were happening here. He spoke to them two messages. One message as the B'nei Yaakov, and one message as what? As the B'nei Yisrael. Kacha nira kipshuto as pasha pshat in the psukim. But why did he do it that way? Why does he take the bracha and the musar and put it together? Say it separately. Give musar separately and bracha separately. You know, there was once a very big Talmud Chacham that used to mix halacha and drush together. So a certain gadol said about his halacha and drush, he said, his halacha, his drush, and his drush is halacha. Halacha should be halacha, and drush should be drush. Don't take musar, make it bracha. No, bracha. Is it bracha or musar? He mixes it together. Well, what's he mixing together? Bracha and drush. Sometimes you take drush and you make it into halacha, and sometimes you take halacha and you make it drush. And guess what you have? You have nothing. Because halacha is supposed to be halacha, drush is supposed to be drush. So why does he go and he take the musar and the halacha and the bracha and put it together? So there's a beautiful Arachayim that explains, because the biggest bracha that you could give to a person is to set him right in his path and give him musar. Biggest bracha. You know, Rabbi Yisai, I really believe that this is what we begin the shir with. Sometimes the worst galus is to not even realize you're in galus. How you don't realize? There's so much galus within. There's so much a person's fatumult. He doesn't even realize how fatumult he is. And the greatest bracha you could give is guidance. Hadracha. How a person could see the light and see Tov and be and find the Rabbeinu Shloilam. That itself is bracha. And don't forget, in the context of what we're speaking, this was the beginning of galus of Nistamuay Nehem Velibam Shal Yisrael. That's what they were missing with Yaakov's Patira. They were missing the guidance. They were missing their Einayim and their Lev. So what is the greatest bracha? The opposite. Even if it's divrei kintur, even if it's words, strong words, but it's guiding words. It's teaching them how to survive in the galus. Memela, that could be the biggest bracha. I believe that the words of the Archaim are so profound. They're so moiridikavertet, pelvika. We think that musr, it's a bad thing for carrots. Musr is the greatest thing sometimes, you know. They say over a nice story. They say over that the Ger Rebbe was a chreinel of racha. I think it was the Imri Emes. He stood up all night learning. And because of that, he woke up late for Shachris. So the Svas Emes asked him, where were you for davening? So he didn't say. So the Svas Emes took his stick. You know, the Rebbe used to carry a stick. And he gave him a good zetz. He gave him a good bang. You know? So the friends of the Imri Emes said to him, why did you tell your father? You up all night learning. And then he would have a little bit rachmanis on you. He wouldn't. She says, are you kidding me? And then I wouldn't have gotten the whack. I wanted it. I wanted it. I wanted the moose. I would have lost out on a good zets, a good bang from my father, a good clapper from cup. You know, the old days, they used to look at it as a good thing, not a bad thing. Tell somebody Musar today, ooh, what are you starting up with me for? Techeach es amisecha. What does it say? Techeach techeach. What does the word amisecha mean? You know what the word amisecha means?
Emet, no?
Amisecha, no. Amisecha doesn't mean emet. Oh, am. Amisecha, right? Amisecha means close, together, right? Amisecha. You want to say somebody, you know what you say? You say ploni. You say, Achech techir, ezulatecha, the other guy. What's amitecha? Amitecha means am, we're together, right? You think that when you give a person musr, you're giving him musr, it's distant. The opposite. When you're giving him musr, is because amitecha, we're so connected that we're one people, we're one person. So what you're doing, it's nageh to me. Amitecha doesn't mean distance somebody else. The opposite. If you feel distant, you shouldn't be giving him musr. Musr is amitecha, because it's, and as a matter of fact, this is the yechiv of musr. The Rishayim tell us that the reason why we have to give musr is because arvus. In Klal Yisrael, we accept it. Kol Yisrael arevim zel lazeh, samachuyim. As a matter of fact, if somebody does an aveira and I don't give him musr, it's as if I did the aveira. Why? What does that have to do with me? And the answer is, we're in this together. The opposite. The closer you are to somebody, the more you tell them. The more you tell them. I was thinking of a gewaldig word. You know, it says, Vishimu el Yisrael avichem. Why does it say avichem? But they didn't know who their father was?
Their father, no.
Uh-huh. So that's what he meant to say. He meant to say avichem, that I'm also your father. I mean, I wouldn't know that. You mean, if Yaakov Avinu would have said, I would have never known. I would have, okay, maybe. That's a pretty good pshat. Not my svar. My svar doesn't make sense of some pshat. What are you talking about? Come listen to Yisrael, your father?
Avotechem
says avichem. What avotechem? I'm asking you a simple question. Vishimu el Yisrael avichem. Well, what did you think it was? You thought it was his grandfather, his great-grandfather? He just, listen to Yisrael, me, your father. Who else is it? And you know what the answer is, Rabbi? I'll tell you, Murray the Kipshat. I'll tell you, Murray the Kipshat. Yeah. I want you to listen to me, not as a Baal Musar. I want you to listen to me as Yisrael Avich. He kavtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov. Did you ever speak to your children and call them b'nei Yaakov? Would you talk to your children that way? I want you to listen. Shimu, go listen. The children of what's your first name again? I forgot. Rabbi Baruch. Could the children of Baruch please listen to me? And everybody's going to look around the room. You mean me? You're talking to me? I'm your child. So say you. What are you? The children of Shimu b'nei Yaakov. Vishimu, I want you to listen to Yisrael, your father. How about saying, why don't you listen to me? I'm your father. Who's everyone? B'nai Yaakov is B'nai Yaakov, no? Vishimu Yisrael Avicha. I think he's saying a Mari to convert. I want you to listen as Banim, and I want you to listen to me as your Av. It's a unique position. Which means, I don't want you to take the Musar on its words. I want you to take the Musar on who's delivering it. Yeah? It's too many to convert. You know, you could say the same thing. A person could say the same thing as another person. But who's it come from? I don't want you to take the words, literally the words for what they are, but I want you to take it as who's delivering it to who. It's the words of an Av LeBen. The ultimate Ahava, the ultimate love is Ahava's Av LeBen. I want to talk to you about this a little bit, then you'll understand what I want. I was thinking to myself, why does he mix together the bracha and the musr? So we said, because that itself is the biggest bracha. I would like to offer a little more insight into this. You know, Yaakov Avinu was a tremendous mechanech. Tremendous. As a matter of fact, Chazal tell us that he saved this Musar till the time he died. Why? Because he was afraid that if he gives this Musar earlier, Reuven is going to go to Esav. So he was very careful on how he delivered the Musar. Not now, afterwards. I'll answer you afterwards. What do we see from here? That he was extremely careful on how he gave the Musar, right? Because if he would give the same Musar earlier, which is a chiddush. I mean, Esav was a. We think Esav was this big Russia and the Hitler. Obviously, Reuven wouldn't have went after him if it was that. So, kanireh that Esav had a pretty big following and he made a lot of sense. Just within the Esav, you had to be careful because you never know what could be in there, right? I'll call upon him, but you see that he was very careful. One of the biggest kochot and the biggest chokhmot is how to give Musar. You give Musar in the wrong way, the person is boged. The person rebels and you lost everything that you could have wanted it worse. You could have made it much worse. Yaakov Avinu learns and teaches how to give Musar to a child. And that is to take the bracha and the kintur and mix it together. I saw Reb Simcha Zissel Mikelem in the Chachma Musar Chelik Beis brings down the following. There's two ways to give Musar. Either to point out the chisronot or to point out the malot. Vachachami says, the wise one, Arvevam Yachad, mixes it together. The Rechaim says, Ruvein B'chayriyata. Did he give a bracha to Reuven? If you notice, there's very... Rashi even points it out. Rashi says, he didn't bench Reuven and not Shimon and Levi, right? So he says, no, Rashi says, he put them all together. Which means he actually gave a bracha to everybody in general. Okay? Ar Chaim says, no, he gave a bracha. You know what he told him? Reuven B'chayriyata. You're the firstborn, yeah? Because of that, it's a lot of ta'anot on you. Because of that, it's a lot of tvi'ah. But also at the same time, it's a lot of what? It's a lot of ma'ala. It's a tremendous malot that you have. He says, sham tzivat abracha, which means within the words of kintur of Musar, he spoke it out in a way that was a tremendous ma'ala. I want you to know something. My Bobby Zichron Levracha. Okay, taught us a lot. We learned a lot. Forget my grandfather. Even from my grandmother, we learned a lot. A relative of mine stayed by my grandmother. Yeah. And he read a book that he shouldn't have read. What happened? My bubby caught him. And she gave him Musar. But the Musar she gave him made such an impact on me. She meant him. It was a tremendous... And I was thinking to myself, you see clearly that he spoke them all together. Why did he put them all together? He says, Ikavtsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov. Did he do them separately? Did he take them in separately? It's mashmi put them all together. And when they started hearing each other's Musar, why would he do that? And the answer is, he was giving each one Musar, but actually, in truth, it was for everybody. Okay? Tell you what my Bobby said. You know what my Bobby said to them? My Bobby said to this relative of mine, how could you read this book? It's a lo matim bishvilcha. Yiddish is pasnish, which means it doesn't befit you for someone like you to read a book like this. And I couldn't get over the brilliance. You couldn't have said something more stronger in a more positive way.
Criticizing the book,
not him. But more than that, but picking him up. How could someone like you, I mean, how do you read a thing? I mean, you're such a... Within the Tana, what did you have? You had tremendous ma'ala, tremendous uplifting, you hear? This is Reuven, B'chayriyat. Reuven, you're my B'char. On one hand, it was strict Musar. And on the other hand, he was lifting him up. You know, I think that's the pshat in Rashi. You know, Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi says, "Ish ki berchasa berach aisa." What does it mean, "Ish ki berchasa berach aisa"? Don't worry, soon you get a nice bicycle. Hang in there if you're bored. Those that are getting bored, we still have another hour to go. We still have a few more topics to touch on. And we'll get a good story in a minute or two. Go ahead, read the Rashi. So what does Rashi say? Ish ki berchasa. Habracha asida, the bracha that will end up happening. Mem tes, let's go. Mem tes, chav ches. Yes, what does Rashi say? The bracha that will be. Lou, what do you mean the bracha that will be?
Bracha
asida, al kolecha. What does a half a meaning that it wasn't going to happen? What's the chiddush of Rashi? That the bracha that Yaakov gave them will happen? Is that what Rashi's teaching me? You thought it wouldn't happen? You need a special Rashi to teach me it's going to happen? No, Vazag, unbelievable question. Rashi says, he gave them a bracha, ish ki birchato. What is ish ki birchato? Like the bracha that will happen to them. That's not what Rashi says. That's what you say, baby. I don't mind if you say that, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Ish ki berchato bracha atida," the bracha that will happen, that will come to them. But what's the chiddush? You have a chiddush that will happen. What does Rashi mean? The pasuk has to teach me that the bracha will happen to them. I mean, if Yaakov gave it, the will happen. No. You know what? I'll answer you very simple. If you look at the Sipurna, Sipurna has a nice question. It says Vayivarech Otam. It says again he blessed them. So it said, how many times does it say he blessed them? Right? Ishki berchato berach otam. But then it says Vayivarech Otam. The pasuk starts off, he blessed them. Ishki berchato. Oh, see, he says a very nice pshat to Sipurna. Besides the original brachot, he gave them another bracha. There was two brachas he gave them. First he gave them in the Birchas Yaakov a bracha. And then within that, again, Vayivarech Otam separately. So that's what Rashi's trying to say. There was two brachos, Avar and the bracha Atida, that will happen. What was the bracha of the Avar?
One by one.
And the answer is, Brachot Vada'ot V'Hoda'ot L'Shimcha Gadol. Tommy, do we bless Hashem? When we say we're giving you bracha Hashem, yeah, are we blessing Hashem? Is that true? We bless Hashem. So truly, we find Yishmael b'ni Barcheni, Hashem needs brachas from Klal Yisrael, maybe. But the real pshat is Rabbi Yisai, brachos means praises. Birchat Yaakov wasn't only bracha blessings, but Birchas Yaakov was also praise. There's two brachas. There's bracha and there's bracha atida, the bracha that will happen. Birchas Yaakov included musar, true. It also included bracha, praise. If you give musar without praise, Rabbi Yisai, nothing. And if you give musar and praise without hope, without guidance for the future, it's also nothing. We learn three lessons from Birchas Yaakov. A father must give musar. A father must give praise. And a father must give bracha atida to give him for the future. Show him in the future what could be good. Opportunity. Guidance for the future. That's the pshat in Birchas Yaakov. And all three things fell away when Yaakov Avinu passed away. And in Galus, they didn't realize who they were. They didn't realize their kochot. They didn't realize that they were being belittled in the Galus. It's getting hard to sit, huh? I'll tell you a story.
I have to go on my kids.
So let me tell you a good story, okay? Like this, those that have to leave now, they'll at least walk away with a good story, okay? The Michtam Eliyahu, famous Bal Musar, never gave direct musar. He would never get up and say, "You did this." He would never do that. when he didn't like something, he would speak about it in mashal, in story. And you would sit there, listen, and laugh. And then he would tell you, don't laugh, because it might be you, so don't laugh so much. That's how he would give mussar. They say that, like, he didn't like soccer. He couldn't take the soccer. 10 grown men running after him on the ball. It wasn't for him. He also didn't like the licking of the ice cream. He couldn't take the fact that they licked ice creams. And also he hated the straws. It was a big thing by him, the straws. Instead of bending down, you know, to drink, you know, hey, like a straw, you know. Chris is able to sit back. You know, the bigger the balgaiva, you know, the big, you never see those long straws that they have. It's like, it's almost like a tube, you know, what do you call that, from a hose for watering the garden. You know, he's gardening himself, you know what I mean? You ever saw those big little, you're able to sit back on a beach chair, you can sit back and, you know, he couldn't take that, okay? You looked at the Michtel Yo's Sfarim on the history with the books that they write about. The Kitzer, so he had these things that he would bring about how silly it looks and he would laugh. So they went to tell the Chazon Ish. And they told the Chazon Ish that this was the derech of the new Mashgiach in Panovich. He became Mashgiach in Panovich, that he wouldn't knock, but he would, you know, try to get the people to you know, grow on their own. So the Chazon Ish said, very good, very good. Kinyan Mishicha is a much stronger kinyan than kinyan Chazaka. The kinyan of Moshech to draw the person close is a lot stronger than kinyan Chazaka strength. I would throw into the mix, if I may, you have to know what kinyan Hagba'ah is. Uplifting the person might be also a very, very good kinyan. So these are the point. The first point is don't hit him over the head. That's kinyan. That's how you koina. That's how you give musar. And the second point is hagba'ah. You lift the person, and with this, you have tremendous hasa. Now, what does that mean? I'll explain to you what that means. You know, it's interesting. You can go if you have to go. You go. Okay. I want to tell you something very interesting. Could you imagine you call over your son and tell him, you know, you are a chamor. You're a snake. You think you'd like that? Is that good stuff? Yaakov Vinu did that. He's a har chamor. He took his best kid. Yisachar is the Torah. You are chamor. Sus and Zayv, and that snake. Now imagine telling a guy, kid, yeah, you're a real snake. Yeah, what's wrong? Yaakov told that to Dan. And not only that, you look at the Aron HaKodesh, you'll see the snake, and that's what is it? The Bronx Zoo of the Aron HaKodesh. Well, what happened over there? So I'll tell you, Rabbi Isai, we have to discuss this a little bit. You know, in Shulchan Aruch it says, Have az kanemer, rotz katzvi, gibel kari, right? These are bit chayot, they're the wildest animals that we have, right? Yet the Shulchan Aruch tells us we should be like them. Imagine you teach a kid, I want you to be a wild animal. Huh? Yeah! Shulchan Aruch, it says that. You going on to teach a kid to be a wild animal? You gotta be careful. It says in Shulchan Aruch, I want you to be a wild this and a wild. What are you laughing for? It says in Shulchan Aruch, tell me something. Is that a guzma? Is that maybe it's an exaggeration? Who's gonna be like a gibor kari? Most people can't even walk down a block, can't walk down a flight of steps. You tell them to be askanamer. Well, what are you talking about? You know what the answer, Rabbi Yisai, is? It's not a guzma. If the Shulchan Aruch tells us the halacha, it's a true thing. In potential, a person has the potential to be us, kanama, ratz katsvi. He has it in potential. Zohar HaKadosh writes, Rabbi Chanan brings it down in Kovitz Aris in the back, Naseh Adam, who is he talking to, Hashem? Naseh. So Rashi brings, he's talking to the Malachim. The Zohar writes, who's he talking to? The animals. Now said that the whole world together will make the Briat Olam, it's all together, which means in a person is all the kochot. He has the koch to be a nari and a ze'ev. He has all the kochot. Unbelievable, huh? A person be'etzer has the koch to be all the animals. What's the pshat? Birachotam. Rashi says birachotam that he was koylam kul biachat. So even though Yehuda is ari, but I can also every shevet, everybody can be everything. All right. So what's the pshat? That we don't see it today. So I once asked Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, "Nitkatnu adorot, right? We have Azkanamer today. We don't have it. We Gibo Kari. You know, they say over there that if you from the Beis HaTalmud Rosh Hashiva, so I'll give you the second his name, Reb Lazer Horodetsky." Reb Lazer Horodetsky was one of the Rishivas of Beis. He was very strong. So they once put a water cooler in the Beis Medrash, meaning in the hallway, in the yeshiva. He came, he saw the water cooler, he ripped it out of the floor. He ripped it from the ground, because they put, you know, they cemented it to the ground. He ripped it out. A Beis Medrash is not a park! In a park, you have a water cooler. A yeshiva has a water cooler, wasn't it? What is it, a park over here? How can he rip? How do you rip it out? They used to call him a blaze out god. You hear? That's how strong he was. And the answer is, we're weak. Just the generation before us, the people were much stronger. What happened? This katnu adorot. What does that mean? So I asked him, Shlomo Zalman, physically this katnu adorot, or maybe this katnu adorot koach ratzon.
Both.
So he told me both. That's what Shlomo Zalman told me. He says, a little bit of both. He says, you know, in those days, people were 20 feet tall. 20 amas. What happened? It's got no adorot physically, and maybe the yisod of it is because the ratzon is smaller. Don't want as much, you hear? What Yaakov Avinu is telling them, Gibokari, if you have ratzon, you could be like an Ari. You could be tremendously strong. I want to explain with this. The Gemara tells us that when the Mialdot were told by Paroi to kill the children before they were born, they said, I can't kill them. Why? Ki choyotena. That the Jewish women are like animals. That before the Mialedes comes to them, they give birth. And this is a Gemara Saiti and Alpha. Tell me something. You think Paro was a madman? Was a meshuggah?
He was
a stupid idiot. I tell him, what do you want? The Jewish women, they're like animals. They take it to a psychiatrist. The guy comes and tells you that. You take him right away to a therapist. Well, what's he talking about? What's he talking? You think he's stupid, Paro? Paro was the king of the world. You tell him, you know something? I couldn't do it because the minute I came there, all of a sudden I saw on the face a picture of a lion. Pretty crazy. Take them away. Put on the orange jumpsuit and take them away. What are you talking about? And the answer, Rabotai, is why do you need a Mialedus? You know why you need a Mialedus? Mialedus teaches the person self-control, breathing, concentration. You know why we need a Mialedus? Because we're weak. In those days, they were strong. They had tremendous Gvuras HaNefesh and Gvuras HaLev. They were strong. You know, I remember in Russia they used to cut off their fingers to show how strong they are. You know. In Russia there was a thing. You never heard this? So maybe they say it in America. Yeah, it could be the stories they say. The Japanese, they cut their finger off to show that they're strong. Oh, see, he knows. Okay, it was Japan.
So you know, I mean, was this king time of the war with Bar Kokhba. Cut off the finger.
He used to cut the finger. I'm not making it up.
Soldier.
Why? At shows. Doesn't bother me. Yes, how strong I am. A person has Gvuras Halev, Hamayach, he's able to withstand. So the fact that you need a Mialedus comes from what? From lack of strength. That's what he meant to tell Pari. They don't need a Mialedus because they're Chayais, they have the Koiches of Gvuras Ari. That's what he means. They don't need us. They give birth, it's nothing to them. By the time we come to them, they already gave birth. That's the pshat in the Gemara in Saita Daf Yerav. Emes the pshat, Rabbi Yisai. Okay. With this, I want to tell you over a Myridika thing. You know, we talk about Gvura. You know what the greatest Gvura? The greatest Gvura. Ezel Gibor. HaKovesh Yisro. So the Alter of Slabotka says, true, we're Nimshal L'Chayot with Gvura. But we have even a Gvura bigger than the Chayot. And that is Yitzir Kapav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're Nasir B'Tzalmenu Kidmusenu in the Tzelem Elokim, and therefore we can do things that even animals can't do. He says, Amarit Gechirish, he says, Mahu Rachum, Afatar Rachum, is Kochot Adam that even animals don't have. It's Gvura Sa'adam that even animals don't have. As Kanamar, Gimok, Kariya, all this is true, but then there's something even bigger and greater and stronger, Bikochot Adam. And that is the Midot Tovot, the Gvur of the Yetzer Hara. It's a tremendous koch that we have. He says an unbelievable chiddush. He says an unbelievable chiddush there. He says, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the sky, to the Shemayim. Eliyahu went up to the Shemayim. Chanoich went up to Shemayim. So we always thought, it's the way I always learned, that how did they go up to Shemayim? Eibishtah took them. He learns not like that. They went up with kochot atzmav, he says. They had tremendous kochot. He brings a medrash that before the Mabul, a man was able to jump miyichsofa olam atzofa olam. He brings a medrash at the bottom. Man was able to jump from one side of the world to the other before the Mabul. He says, it's a medrash. The medrash says that when they looked at the chayot that were able to jump, they said, this is like the malat to me. It's like an ant to me. Aratzofen, the alt of Islabotka. Yeah, kuchot ha'adam is so strong. Yeah. So what is it? This koch is greater. It's greater. Greater than the koch of the chayot. This is bracha. Bracha means when you're able to give a person to understand the shiflut of the galut, the shiflut, and the shiflut of what the galut does to a person. The umat, the kochot that he has, to be ma'avir al amidot, to be mitgaber on the yetzahara. You know, galus gives us weakness. That's what I'm trying to bring out. This the Mu'ainayim V'Lipa, we became weak in the Galus. I understand what Nistamu means. It shuts down the tremendous eye and the heart, the Kochot HaNefesh that we have. That becomes shut down in the Galus, Rabbi Yisrael. Yeah, it's unbelievable, unbelievable Nekuda. Galus weakens us. What does it weaken us? Weakens us in the Kochot HaNefesh. In the Hiskatnut HaDorot, and this is the mala of understanding what Galus is and how we can be misgaber, how we can uplift ourselves stronger against all the weaknesses that the Galus has to offer, because we're able to be Yitzir Kapol Shalosh Baruch Hu. This is lesson in Galus, and this is what Yaakov Avinu was teaching. Ikavtsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov. Don't let the galus affect you. Don't let the galus weaken you. Let me give you how to survive the galus, and that is to know your kochot. Because what galus attacks, you know, there's something called an immune deficiency disorder. You know what an immune deficiency disorder is? Remember, I taught this to you. Immune deficiency is when the body attacks itself. The cells attack themselves. It's called autoimmune deficiency. A lot of diseases, lupus and these type of machlis of Rechona Litzlan, are autoimmune. Lou Gehrig, they say, is an autoimmune disease, which means is the body attacks itself because it doesn't recognize its own self. It looks at the own cells as zor, outside, and therefore it attacks. Galus is an autoimmune disease, Rabbi Yisrael. Doesn't let you recognize who you are. Mela, you attack yourself. You don't let yourself grow, and you don't let yourself be healthy. It's called an autoimmune spiritual disease. So the antidote for it is to recognize who you are and what you are, that you're a Yid, and you have a Naim V'Lev, and that you have koiches to be mezgaber on these weaknesses of the Yetzirah of the Golus. And that is how you combat, and that's how you destroy the disease called Golus. And with this, we're talking b'zoicha, Mashiach should come, and physically, not only spiritually, but physically as well, redeem us from the Golus.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.